Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
But most importantly, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Ah, yes. It's 2022. Good Lord.
Wait a minute. You have to be careful when you say that.
Yeah, I know. I saw the memes. Absolutely. But happy Saturday, everybody, and Happy New Year. And, of course, it is a full house today. We've got Steve Silva. We've got Caitlin here. We've got producer JC. And I am Sean Roberts, and this is Your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right, laughing the things that we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but still do.
Oh, you know, the things that connect us all. The things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show. So join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, YourWeeklyDose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at YourWeeklyDose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at YourWeeklyDose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at YourWeeklyDose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We got a fun show for you guys today. This is our first show back after a two-week hiatus. And we've got a lot of things. We got sports with Oz Davis. We got horoscopes. Tweets. Good God. Tweets for New Year's resolutions. It's starting already, folks. Get that engine running. Movie reviews with Paul Preston. We got a pocket-sized cinema. And, of course, we got the game later on as well.
Now, you know, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go and you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, that's where we are. Just search for Your Weekly Dose and, most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
It is so important. Yes, absolutely. And today's theme song is Things Can Only Get Better by Howard Jones, because, damn it, we are in a world of hurt right now with the Omicron going around. And here in Southern California, it is going rapidly crazy right now, especially in L.A. County and everything.
All the numbers, and everybody says it's actually worse than it's ever been.
I know more people with COVID right now than I've ever known in the past.
Like, yeah, it's scary. And I've had a cousin of mine found out recently that her brother-in-law passed away because of COVID. And then my niece's son, I believe, has got COVID right now as well. So it's out there, guys. And all I ask is just please be careful. With it overall. I got my booster shot recently, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I'm all did all that too. So
did you get your booster, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if you got your booster or not. Yeah. So anyway, so the theme song is Things Can Only Get Better, because that's what we're hoping for. And make sure you can always get any of the music that we play on our sponsor, which is Amazon. Jump on Amazon. I use them, oh my God, for all my Christmas shopping. It was so easy. All I did was a couple of clicks here and a couple of clicks there. And everything got sent on time. Well, most of them did.
A few clicks here, a few clicks there.
Exactly.
Clicks every time everywhere. I come here, I see an Amazon box in the door.
Yeah. I'm telling
the one
you,
on the porch now looks like you got a pool.
It's a blow up.
It's a big one.
It's a blow up. So definitely, yeah, all you got to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and shop to your heart's delight, because that way we get a little bit of money back every time that you do your shopping through our banner. And also, guys, don't forget to, if you're enjoying the show, remember to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you. So please spread the word about the show to your friends.
Okay. You have to ask me the question.
Okay.
Howard Jones sang the song we just played.
Yes.
Ask me what my favorite Howard Jones song is.
You know what, Steve? I was thinking the other day when I picked this song that I knew that you would enjoy Howard Jones because you have a favorite Howard Jones song, right?
I do.
What is that, Steve?
No One Is to Blame.
Oh.
I really like that song.
We'll have to look it up and play a little bit of that too later on. Yeah. Maybe then.
That's really good.
Absolutely. In the meantime, though, should we catch up with each other?
Why not?
Let's catch up.
Okay, who's going to take off? We'll run after you to catch up.
Hi. Like the 80s song, it reminded me, I got these cool like 80s walkie-talkies because my friend lives two stories down from me.
Okay.
And so I unfortunately don't have like the batteries, so I have to get the batteries. But we have like these cool old walkie-talkies though, and we're going to just...
just go back and forth. Yeah. can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Copy?
Copy, yeah.
Do you copy?
Boop.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Kayla, why don't you go first? How was your holidays and everything?
It was good, yeah. I went up to my hometown. I stayed for a little longer than I was supposed to because there was the snow and the big, like, rainstorm that happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, a bunch of snow in the grapevine and stuff. But, yeah, it was good. I spent a lot of time with my sister and my grandparents and my dog. I love my dog. Oh, look, there she is now. What? Sounds just like her. Yeah.
Want to scratch your belly, too?
Please.
Well, that's cool. So what'd you get for Christmas? Anything exciting, though?
I got Doc Martens. I've been wanting those for so long.
Nice.
Yeah, I got Doc Martens. Oh, and I got a gym membership, too. I asked for that one. I know that sounds kind of like nerdy, I guess. Not really nerdy. But it sounds
and stereotypical.
Yeah.
Your New Year's resolution.
To where?
Kind of thing.
Like, nerdy. Nerds have changed since I was in school.
No, like, not nerdy, but like.
Nerds are found in the gyms now?
I mean, you've seen Captain America. He was.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, I was sore for like 3 days because there's like private trainers there. I go to Planet Fitness. And yeah.
How do you like it so far?
I like it, yeah. They have like free one-on-one training, which
now,
is super nice.
Now, what are going to be your goals for this, now that you've gotten this new membership now?
I want to be able to throw someone who's 200 pounds.
Well, you can start practicing with me.
Away or down the stairs or, you know,
just being able to throw them.
In the river? Where do you want to throw these people?
In case these people try to attack me, I can just yeet.
Oh, okay. In case you get attacked.
In that case, I would say start watching Cobra Kai.
This is totally random, but in drama class, naturally, we all started just, you know, picking each other up and throwing each other, as you do.
I did that in college. Ah. You know?
Theater, just everyday theater class things. And my friend, who's like 170 pounds, I was able to like pick him up and like throw him to my other friend. And I was like, like, I was like,
okay.
That's cool.
I just felt strong.
And this is in theater class, so.
Yeah. All right. I know. It was after, so our like very introverted, like, Japanese friend, right, was like, picked this angry monologue, which was absolutely hilarious because it was so out of character for her. And then we all started like acting like these big, like macho, like lots of testosterone dudes. And then that's how the throwing of people started.
Got it. Okay.
Theater is very physical, though. It really is. It's very physical. Yeah. You got to be in shape to do a lot of theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really do. Especially, and when there are certain things of that nature, yeah, you really do. You have to be in a good shape. Casey, how about you, darling? What was your holidays like?
I laid low for most of the holidays, for both of them. For Christmas, I wasn't really feeling the greatest. It wasn't COVID. Tested negative again. Still evades me constantly.
I've been
exposed and tested like 4 times and never
Dude,
comes back positive.
Same. I've been like exposed more times than I can count.
Yeah. In like small rooms, much similar to the one that we're in now.
Right.
Then yeah. Then
what were you doing in that small room?
Secrets you'll never know.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I'll have to tell you.
Yeah. And then New Year's, same thing. I just stayed home, did a whole lot of nothing. Chilled in the house.
You were a little sick though for Christmas too, though.
Yeah, so. I wasn't feeling the greatest. No, Christmas that made sense. New Year's, I had no excuse.
Right. So, did you guys just kind of chill, just you and Mateo in the RV?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. We called our family at like 9 over, so that, because
right.
they live over in North Carolina, so it was midnight there.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love North Carolina.
Did you stay up till midnight, or was that it?
We stayed up till midnight on the West Coast and then went to bed. But, you know, I've noticed most times in California, people celebrate at like 9.
Yeah. Because when it happens in New York, there's such a big celebration. People use that and then go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Most of the things that I've been around usually piddle out right around 11. Yeah. Midnight, people are leaving. They're like, cool, see ya. Yeah.
Like, where are you going? We're just getting started. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. We're going to be playing strip poker pretty soon. No? Okay.
Sat home, watched some old Christmas movies and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Nice.
Like what? What do you...
What was it? White Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Bing.
Mm-hmm.
Sister.
That's another good movie you got to watch. White Christmas.
I'll put it on the list. Earlier, they were giving me a list of movies to culture me.
You know what? We should have also some of our listeners just go ahead and tweet us or send us emails of some of your favorite movies. The thing is that earlier this morning, we were downstairs and doing, you know, prep for the show and everything. And we got into a big conversation of who is Sidney Poitier? And because of, you know, we lost him yesterday. And so Caitlin, unfortunately, did not really know who he was because of her generation. That's understandable. It's like another old actor. Okay, whatever.
Hashtag culture this 20-year-old.
Yeah. Exactly. So we started talking.
Cultureless.
So she was kind of asking also, you know, what movie should I start watching? And we're like, oh, baby. Just come over in my house and just start watching. And but if you guys have any movies that you think that she should watch, you know, tweet us, text us, send us an email or whatever. And so that way we can pass that along to Caitlin so she can start watching those. You know, downloading them or Hulu them or Prime them.
Check them on the Facebook.
Or Facebook or wherever, you know, so she can watch
YouTube.
These movies. So, real quick, how is the new RV coming along, though? How's it fitting?
It's okay. It's the exact same, so it doesn't really... It's nice because you wake up and you feel like that didn't happen, even though it definitely did, and it was definitely a headache.
Yes.
But... It is nice waking up and everything is exactly the same. It looks exactly the same. It was the same model, same make, same brand. So really, we just stepped out of one and put ourselves right back into another.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, except that the people who... So they broke the water heater. They forgot to winterize the water heater in Michigan. And so it broke. And so they had to replace it while we were there. And then we get back and we had left it winterized because we were driving down to North Carolina and then down and through. And so we wanted to leave it winterized through the cold. So we didn't use the water heater until we got back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we plugged it in, everything in, got everything hooked up and set up. And we were like, okay, I'm going to take a shower, and popped the water heater on and it wouldn't it didn't come on. The light bulb didn't come on. It didn't work. And I, you know, we're very confused. We went through the whole manual on how it connects to this one switch to figure out if it was connected correctly, only to find out that they had replaced it with a water heater that is a manual water heater. So you have to go outside and manually light the pilot light.
Oh, that sucks.
So we're not thrilled about that.
Right.
It's a huge inconvenience. But Mateo seems to be totally fine with it. He doesn't want to, like, bother calling Camping World and have them replace it. So I told him I'm no longer paying for the propane.
There you go.
There you go.
That $40 tank just not going to be my bill anymore.
Yeah, you got to put your foot down woman. Somewhere.
Yeah. You got to be the woman of the house.
Got to set the laws, you know?
Yeah.
Boundaries. They're important to have.
I no propane.
Propane. And he has to light the pilot light. So we either have to leave the pilot light on or have to go outside every time we want to light it. So now we just leave it lit.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So now
we need hot water. I mean.
Well, I think we should be calling Camping World and having them replace it with another water heater that actually functions the way that our initial one was supposed to function.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
That seems logical to me, but that apparently evades Mateo.
Well, see,
he's
the thing
a
is, they're not hooked up to a gas line. They have to buy a propane tank. So if they leave it on all the time, they just waste propane. In the
burning the pilot.
Burning the pilot.
Oh,
light.
Mm-hmm. I get it now. Okay, yeah.
Yep. Well, we can't even remove our propane tank. We have to drive the RV to go fill up the propane tank.
Oh, that sucks.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a valve that we can buy, like another little 5-gallon and attach it to it.
Right.
And then it'll flow into that. So there are ways that you can get around not moving the RV, but it's also good to get the RV back on the road and move it around.
Right. Oh, man. Steve, how was your... your holidays?
Better than they've been in the past. It came and went quickly, which is always good for me. But I just relaxed, got high a lot, and you know, enjoyed myself and watched a lot of movies and anime and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
cool.
Yeah, so as far as Christmas and New Year's, I didn't really do anything. Just relaxed.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool.
That's the right way to do the holidays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We kind of did the same thing here. We just kind of relaxed. We had Christmas dinner here.
I know, which I missed. And, sorry.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah. Well, I did come to dinner here on Christmas. But.
Oops. You know, Karen made a great dinner. She did a cordon bleu, so that's what you missed.
It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we had a nice time and everything, and, you know, Karen got me this wonderful massager for...
What's her name?
Yeah. I'll tell you later. Yeah. And, yes, I do get a happy ending with it. now, she got me this wonderful massager where it's one of the ones that where it kind of the chiropractors have where it's this big bulky thing, you know, and just pounds the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one
amazing.
Of those. Oh, they are. And so that was like my best Christmas gift, you know. And then we also got, she got me tickets to go see Schoolhouse Rock live on stage. So I can't wait for that. And then another play. Was it the Million Dollar Quartet? I think that's what it's called. It's the recording event where it was Elvis, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and I'm missing somebody else. Johnny Cash. They all got together, and so it's a play about that and of them in the recording studio. So I can't wait for that, and so we're looking forward to all of that. So we had a good time and everything, and then I had my job interview.
Ooh.
So now, after the 10th, I get to find out whether I get it or not. So, everybody, please send prayers that I get it, because Lord knows I need it. And so we're expecting that to hopefully come through, and just waiting for that. And but overall, same thing. We kind of laid low for New Year's Eve. We, you know, watched the ball come down 3 hours earlier, you know, because it was midnight here, so it's already, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning there. And so watched it come down. We had fun, kissed each other, and went to sleep. I woke up, started watching the Rose Parade, so which was very nice. So it was all good.
Yeah.
It was all good. Well, you know what time it is now, though? It's sports time.
Sports!
That's right. got our buddy, Mr. Oz Davis, on the phone with us. How are you, Oz?
I'm good. Happy New Year to
Happy
you.
New Year to you, buddy. Happy New Year. How was your Christmas and your New Year's, good sir?
Oh, completely uneventful. There you go. Like a blur of football.
We are a boring cast.
I'm gonna chalk it up to creativity. You know, I'm working on this highfalutin audio drama. I wrote myself a monster of a script.
Ooh,
I wrote
nice.
I wrote myself a monster of a script that's about 90 minutes long and has 40 characters in it.
Wow.
So now I'm basically going through the hell of mixing all this down.
So if you need a voice actor, hi.
Oh, really?
Hi, I'm Caitlin.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Because many more. This is just one episode of the 11 or 12 we have planned, but it's the big one.
Wow, that's so cool.
So, you know, this is what I did on my Christmas break, and I'm not going to apologize for being productive. It may be boring, but the end product will be awesome.
Can't wait to hear it, buddy. Can't wait to hear it.
Amazing.
So, I know you and I talked yesterday briefly and everything. We lost a great one in sports history. Coach Madden. Man, how big was this impact for football and for sports?
Wow. Well, should I do the entire bio here? I could go for a few minutes here just running down his entire career if you'd like.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that?
I prepared the text.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's talk RIP John Madden, 1936-2022. John Madden, in addition to all the great stuff he did in football that I'm going to talk about in just a minute, he's also one of the few individuals that called his own afterlife. And so if you believe in such things, let's hope that he got there, because here's how he saw it. According to his enshrinement speech at the Hall of Fame in 2006, not sure why it took so long, but hey, he said at that time, quote, "I believe that the busts in the Hall of Fame talk to each other. I can't wait for that conversation. I really can't. Vince Lombardi, Newt Rockne, Reggie White, Walter Payton, all my ex-players will all be there forever and ever talking about whatever. That's what I believe. That's what I think is going to happen, and no one's ever going to talk me out of that." Well, good on him. Let's see. You know, hopefully he's there right now. John Madden was born in Minnesota in 1936, but California can pretty much claim him as their own since his family moved out to the San Francisco area when he was about 4 or 5 years old. Played high school football there, played college football, bounced around a lot from school to school, but always stayed with California schools. He finally finished his senior year with Cal Poly Tech. But one of the unfortunate problems he had was that he had a lot of knee injuries. And finally, he was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, but suffered his final knee injury at training camp. Didn't even make it to the preseason with the Eagles. But, of course, this is football. Football is a dangerous game. Football, you have these major traumatic injuries. And so there's this whole underclass of guys whose careers end prematurely, and they parlay this into a coaching career. Of course, Sean McVay is a good example of this. Lane Kiffin is a good example of this. You wonder why these guys become head coaches at 30 years old. And 99 times out of 100, it's this. It's an early career injury. So John Madden is one of those guys. Now, he started coaching at Allen Hancock College in Santa Maria. Have any guys ever even heard of this?
When I was playing basketball at Cuesta College, we played Hancock.
Oh, okay. There you go. There you go. Now, in football, that's like a Division two or three these days. It's a pretty small school by football standards. But soon after that, he moved to San Diego State and then, of course, finally to the Oakland Raiders in 1967. By 69, he's head coach. And the Raiders had been to one of those early Super Bowls, Super Bowl II. But when Madden took over, that's when he really established the Raiders as that powerhouse. After the merger from 1969 to 1975, the Raiders got to the championship game 5 of the 7 years. Now, of course, usually they lost to the you know, all-time great Pittsburgh Steelers of those days. But in his first year as head coach, Madden got the Raiders to 12-1-1. In 1975, they were 13-1. And those were some of the best seasons until those Chicago Bears came along in the 80s in the NFL. And finally won in Super Bowl 11, destroying the Vikings 32-14 so badly that the Vikings have never even returned to the Super Bowl since then. He did. Now Madden only did, after winning the Super Bowl, he only did two more seasons as head coach, which I remember was probably a really good thing for him personally, because he was one of these guys who looked like he was going to have a heart attack every game on the sidelines. You know, it didn't matter if they were up 40-7 or down 40-7, which they weren't very often. But he just, I mean, I thought he was going to explode some games. He retired from coaching at 103-32-7. God. Which is right about 750, three games out of four in the regular season. And that's number one all time among head coaches with 100 games or more. But remember, and here's the wild thing is, and now you guys are as old as I am, so you may remember, Madden was not this universally loved figure at the time, right? I mean, like, a lot of people – I mean, the Raiders were the bad boys of the NFL. They were. They had some seriously bad dudes on that team, like John Matuszek. Now, John Matuszek is the guy who gratuitously, you know, injured Daryl Stingley, the Patriots wide receiver, in a preseason game, paralyzed this guy for life. You know, just to be a bad guy, right. You know. And the Raiders had this reputation as cheaters. And at one point, the quote from John Madden is he just went off on this rant. You know, we'd call it a meltdown nowadays. And the quote is, all I hear is the Raiders cheat. The Raiders cheat. Okay, the Raiders cheat. Now, what are you going to do about it? Unquote.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he had a certain persona. But that all flipped because he joined TV in 1979, pretty much went national in 1981, and partnered with Pat Summerall in one of the all-time, you know, we always call this one of the all-time great NFL broadcast teams, all the way through the 2001 Super Bowl. Now, of course, that was the plucky New England Patriots with an unknown quarterback from Michigan versus the, you know, awesome, greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams. And there's this famous clip on YouTube where at the beginning of the Patriots' final drive of the game, Madden is saying, I don't think they should be doing this. I think they should just go to overtime, take a knee, not risk it. And then by the end of the drive, he's going, wow, I love what they're doing here. It's a very good clip, very good clip. But then, of course, you know, Madden continues. He goes to ESPN. He goes to Monday Night Football, the biggest football program in the world, with Al Michaels, and really basically the greatest team up that show has had. And that show has been on for 50 years, I think. So, and because of this broadcasting, you know, this is one thing there's been a lot of eulogizing about Madden going on this week, but this is one thing that isn't talked about enough. And that is, from 1979 to 2008, Madden was on football for 476 consecutive weeks.
Jeez.
Nearly 500. He was like a season and a half away from 500. And, you know, that's pretty good for a guy who doesn't fly on airplanes. You know, that's to make that streak. Now Madden retired from broadcasting in 2009. And we should mention his two appearances in pop culture. In 2000, he played himself along with Pat Summerall in the Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman film, The Replacements.
Oh, yeah, and I remember that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And in 1998, he and Summerall were in The Simpsons episode Sunday Cruddy Sunday, which was the second Super Bowl-themed episode that The Simpsons did. Now, of course, for anybody born, or for anybody, I should say, who became aware of sports after 2009, John Madden is, of course, known as the icon behind the most popular sports video game ever, Madden NFL. Now, originally you asked me, like, what's his legacy? Okay. In a way, given the importance of video gaming in today's society, ironically, Madden may go down for his game for the biggest impact on entertainment and culture. This game began in 1984 when the designers went to, they wanted a name to put on their brand new sports game. They were with this new company called Electronic Arts, today known, now known as EA Sports, a multi-billion dollar company. But they wanted somebody to sponsor their football game. First, they went to Joe Montana, of course. Second, they went to Joe Capp. Very strange choice. He was the Calipers coach at the time, but he wanted something like $250,000 up front. And so they're like, we don't even have that. So they couldn't take him before finally settling on Madden. And one of the first things Madden told these guys is, look, I don't want my name on it if it doesn't have 11 players. And supposedly his quote, and I have that here, if there aren't 11 players, it isn't real football, is on the first package of that game when it ultimately came out 3 years after they started. These game makers had to produce whole new technology, whole new ways of writing programs and accessing memory to store this. And in the next 10 years, next 10 iterations of the Madden game, they added features that we take for granted today in sports sims and in gaming in general. You can play full seasons. Now you can create teams, you can create players, you can follow a career of a guy. It was one of the first games to incorporate like real sportscasters actually reacting to specific plays. And he did that for a long time too. He went in the studio for a weekend at a time and just recorded reactions to plays, which was great. But I mean, all this stuff was completely revolutionary. When he insisted on having that in this game, he set a bar for video games that these guys met, that EA met, that changed the world of video games. And again, video games are so important nowadays. It's like, you know, this is one of his greatest things. As of, 2021, NFL Madden had made a total of $5 billion.
Jeez.
Just that one game alone. This is how much it changed, like, society, business, software, video gaming. Finally, for the past decade or so, John has been mostly out of sight. And just this past Christmas, Fox Sports released the 90-minute documentary, All Madden. I admit, I haven't watched it yet. I haven't recorded, but I haven't watched it yet. It is still available on ESPN Plus. As the story goes, Coach Madden himself hosted a big watch party with his friends and his relatives to watch the thing, and he passed away 3 days later.
Jeez.
All Madden is the name of the documentary on ESPN Plus. And I guess just I wanted to say this. In total is, there's a series on, I think it's ESPN, about players and coaches, sort of a bio documentary series called A Football Life. I dare say that John Madden may have had the footballiest life ever of them all. And whether or not he's talking all night in Canton, Ohio or not, he is football for, I think, people of our age. So rest in peace, Coach Madden.
Wow. Wow, just an amazing career overall for what he did.
Oh, ridiculous.
And I was just blown away of what his accomplishments were. He still holds the record, I think, for the best percentage of an NFL coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number one all time. Yeah, and it's really amazing. And I was reading a little bit on him, too, because I mean, I knew who he was because of the Raiders and because of the video game and everything. Mm-hmm. But, I didn't realize how much of a player's coach he was and how much of an inspiration he was to his players and how much respect the players gave back to him, because he understood where they were. He knew every position and the jobs of each position and how to motivate them.
Overall. Well, yeah. The wild thing is that through his whole life, there's this motif of teaching, right? Because he got his degree in college back in the days when football guys used to get degrees. Right. He got his degree in college in teaching.
Yeah, that was the thing that amazed me.
Right. In the 80s, get this now. Imagine this. He was teaching at Cal Berkeley. He was teaching a class on the science of football in the 80s. And with the early once Madden put in the video game, put in the thing about designing your own plays, he used to teach like how plays worked with that game. Right. And I can tell you this, too, from personal experience in Hungary. OK, you got a bunch of guys who are fascinated with this sport, but have no clue what they're doing. You give them a copy of Madden. OK, that game will teach you football like nothing else, Literally, it's that good. And he always saw it, John Madden did, as a teaching tool.
Yeah.
He always would describe it in press conferences whenever they had a new release of the thing as it's the best medium for teaching the game and learning the game. You know, it was fantastic. And that's Madden, right? He was a great teacher. A lot of one thing that a lot of people are talking about too this week is this work with the Telestrator, right? They like basically built that for him. That's the thing where you're watching the game and this guy draws lines all over the place and goes, this guy's going to go here and this guy's going to cut block like this. They basically made that for him, and like he was the master of that. But again, he like taught a generation of broadcasters how to use that thing.
Yeah, like, that's so true. That is so true.
I think one of the things I remember him for, it has to do with Thanksgiving. He always had the Thanksgiving game, and he was always pointing out how great the linemen were as opposed to the normal quarterback, halfback, receivers, and all that. He elevated the stature of the NFL lineman beyond what it was because he had all this respect and he could see how important they were to the team. And it kind of ballooned up. And now a lot of linemen are like taken first in drafts because they're needed so badly. And I think that's kind of cool. But I like the way he always gave of himself, and he always pointed out the beauty in other people, especially the players.
That's absolutely true about pointing out line play. One thing that I've noticed through my life following football is the average football fan now, the average fan knows way more about football than they did in the old days. I mean, we actually know what the line does now, like the average fan does. And a lot of that is down to Madden and guys like his partner, Al Michaels, who understood what was going on in the trenches and, like a teacher, could explain. And literally, like, our whole generation has him to thank for the level of discourse now that is possible on football.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, really. I mean, just the impact on culture is incredible. It's nearly inexpressible.
Well, also, we want to thank you, man, for taking us through that journey, too, of man's career and how and why he is such an important icon. With NFL football, and somebody needs now to go over and start looking at his statue in the middle of the night and see if it starts talking, just like it does at night at the museum or something. So,
well, see, I think it's more like a Toy Story thing, though, right? Because as soon as somebody comes in the room, they freeze again. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll put a camera up or something then. So. All righty, Oz. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, buddy, and thank you so much, man, for that reference on Coach.
All right, great. Hey, good luck
with the 2022.
Will
do, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Oz. Ciao.
Ciao. Yeah, Madden was just amazing. I've started to learn more about him myself. I knew who the hell he was and everything, but I never got into who he really was as a coach and everything. And,
Oh my God.
So it's like, so I want to watch that documentary.
And it's interesting because I was reading about the last time he flew, he got on the plane and he was sitting there, and this had been building up over the years and stuff. Like you said, when he's on the sideline, when he's excited, he looks like he's going to explode. He's just that kind of person. And he was a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd get on a plane, he'd have to scrunch down, and, you know, it was like, and it finally got to him, and he actually stood up and walked off the plane and never flew again.
Wow.
Because it was so bad for him.
For him, yeah. It happens. But you know what's good, though?
Besides liver and onions?
Ooh, no.
I'm setting the bar low.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Thank you, Casey. horoscope.
Yeah, that too, that too.
All right. Well, I'm going to start things off with Aries.
Hi.
All right. So,
who has a new haircut?
Yes.
No more green. I
no
think.
More. I'm sad.
Which I missed.
I know.
I am
Steve
sad.
Was so
I
sad.
Loved it.
It was like fading in the back. I was like one little speck.
I know. It finally got.
It's all natural now. Yeah.
Maybe after it gets longer, you can do it again.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, true.
All right. Be sure to set some New Year's resolutions around professional ambitions, dear Ram, because 2022 kicks off with the Sun, Venus, Pluto, and Mercury all camped out in your sector of your chart that rules careers. So this is a good time to reevaluate whether or not you're actually happy in your current field. If the answer is no, start taking steps to correct your course, and even if that means simply brainstorming ideas about what other types of work interest you. Now, Mercury goes into retrograde January 14th, traveling through the portion of your chart that governs community. So this is a perfect time to reconnect with old acquaintances, especially if there's someone who might be willing to advise or assist you with any professional shifts that you're hoping to make. Meanwhile, conjunction between the Sun and Pluto on the 16th could bring major transformations your way, and jobs could be left behind or lost. So should you find yourself unexpectedly unemployed on or near this date, trust that this is in the universe's attempt at nudging you towards a professional satisfaction and work that you're meant to do. Now, January 24th, bringing momentum to any moves you've been plotting over the past several weeks. This is the planetary placement you want when it comes to facilitating career shifts, but you'll need to uphold your end of the cosmic bargain by seeking opportunity, taking chances, and doing the work.
Wow.
So there you go. So it's all about jobs for you right now.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, which I was just telling everyone, my production company is producing a film in about a month, and so I have that coming up, which I'm excited for.
Us too.
Yay.
Yay. We get to be a part of it. I get to be a PA. She gets to tell me, go get me coffee. Okay.
We have to go to the we have to go to the screening.
True.
Yeah.
The film, yeah.
Oh, we can invite listeners.
That would be so sick, actually. I'm actually going to be the lead. I'm an actor in it, so I'm not behind the camera.
All right. Let's check it out.
Far out.
All right, Steve, who do you got?
Leo.
That's me.
That is you.
All right,
here we go. Kick off the new year by focusing on your health, organization, and daily routines. Dear Lion... I like that. Dear Lion. Because the Capricorn sun shines its light in Capricorn and your solar sixth house.
Hey, what are you doing back there?
Now, Venus and Pluto are also camped out with your ruling planet. Weird wording in this one today. Making this focus not only necessary for your well-being, but also an act of self-care and personal evaluation. Be sure to take extra special care of yourself when the Sun and Venus unite in a blaze of glory on January 8th, filling your heart with warmth while giving you the strength to bring about
That's
real
right.
change. Okay, here's the downer part. Mercury goes retrograde in Oof. Aquarius on the 14th, triggering That's the tough. Sector of your chart that rules romantic relationships.
Mm.
Watch out for re-emerging exes during this
no.
time. And avoid reaching out to any old flames who should stay in the past.
Ooh. Yeah.
If
nice.
There are any loose ends in your existing partnerships, try to find resolution over the water heater incident in the next several weeks.
Wow, that was in the
I can't, but this,
so
these
specific.
Are accurate.
They're getting good.
Very accurate, yeah. This planetary backspin can actually be helpful if you're willing to deal with issues from the past. Now, be mindful of the decisions you make on the evening of January 17th when the moon enters Leo and makes a sweet aspect to the nodes of fate. What the hell are the nodes of fate? Wow. I love that. I'm going to write that down and use it later. Nodes, everybody think that. Nodes of fate. Okay. These connections can unlock new paths for you, especially when it comes to your home and professional lives. If there are any shifts you'd like to see happen within these realms, now would be a good time to make a few moves. Just don't get impatient for immediate results. Rather than offering instant gratification, which everybody likes, this energy is like a trigger, a chain reaction that takes you where you want to be.
Hmm. All right. Now, what was the three word phrase of the day?
Nodes of fate.
Nodes of fate.
Nodes of fate. Wow. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Okay.
Well, all right. I'll take that to heart.
Who's next?
Scorpio.
Ooh, that's a me.
I think it went youngest oldest this time. Wait, did it? No.
Nope.
I totally forgot when yours was read.
Maybe like 5 minutes ago, 2 minutes ago.
I forgot what order. I didn't read.
I read it. But.
That's okay.
We were only on the second person.
Wait, actually, I don't know. Maybe my ADHD is getting to me.
HDTV. Your HDTV, yeah.
Your mind will be gifted with an agility boost, dear Scorpion, as the Sun, Venus, and Pluto all make their way through Capricorn, activating the sector of your chart that rules learning, curiosity, and communication. Expect to surprise even yourself with the abundance of information, like the nodes of fate. Yes. There's your abundance of information.
All right.
Flowing through your brain and coming out of your mouth right now.
And it comes out here.
While you'll be in a more social mood than normal, try not to get too caught up with your correspondence. Taking breaks from your phone will be important, especially on January 9th, giving you a chance to focus on learning while recharging your social batteries. So don't get too party crazy. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I got to calm down. That's right. Yeah.
Mars, your ruling planet, moves into Sirius Capricorn. Not just Capricorn, Sirius Capricorn.
Oh, on January 24th. Boy, Capricorn's getting ravaged this month. Did you notice that?
Yeah. You're screwed.
Asking you to put action behind your thoughts and words. That means it's time to start executing whatever schemes you've had rattling around in your brain. Oh, I don't know how good of advice that is. You better watch out.
Well, I guess if I say let's get together for drinks, I should probably show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's a decent move. Yeah. Up to this point, a sweet connection between the Scorpio moon and Mars can help you put emotion behind the sentiment as you find inspiration through the promise of not only glory, but also self-improvement.
A lot of self-improvement going around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, okay. I got Gemini here.
Uh-oh.
Gemini.
January brings big shifts for you, dear Gemini, as several celestial bodies make their way through your house of transformation.
Orgy.
The cosmic current pushing you towards personal evolution, you should think long and hard about where you want to elicit change.
Oh, I've been thinking long and hard for many years.
You said long and
illicit
hard.
Or explicit? No.
Either way, I'll take it.
Oh, my God.
Chaos, upheaval, and miscommunication may come for you during this time.
Damn it.
But try not to let it result in a crisis of faith. Even if you feel as though you're moving backwards, it's important that you're gentle with yourself. Use this as an opportunity to revise your plans for when
Shalimar
the time
the palm of your
to move forward emerges once more. And I once learned on Mansers that veal has more collagen than a female's vagina.
Huh.
I know. So slap it on in the microwave for a few seconds, get it nice and hot and juicy. And have fun with your veal.
Veal.
All right. Okay.
Apparently, it's the most equivalent slab of meat to the female vagina.
Wow.
Thank you, Mansers.
Noted.
The Cancer full moon on January 17th asks you to nurture yourself and your finances. This is a good time to reevaluate your monthly spending habits. If there are any unused apps or streaming services that you're paying for but no longer use, cancel your membership. I have to do that all the time.
I think if I do that, that way I can save up for the veal.
These vibes are also excellent for paying down debt, and even though it isn't the most fun way to use your money, the universe will reward you for practicing good financial health.
Oh, nice.
Good job.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Financial help.
Well, financial help.
That hope, that means something.
No, no.
Wait.
We got one more. We got one more because we got this month's, which is Capricorn.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
So we always do the month, too. You know, we do ours and plus the month that we're in.
This is ravaged Capricorn.
So, yeah. So this goes from December 22nd, basically, I think, up until, what, January 19th, I think is what it is. So, alrighty. New Year's Day could have you feeling more like a million bucks, Capricorn, so you can enter 2022 with both arms swinging. Make sure you can take some time to really think about your resolutions, though, because five celestial bodies are camped out in your sign, supercharging any goals you have happened to set for yourself. Now, try not to think about what your limitations might be. Instead, take an optimistic view based on where your talents could lead you. Now, a collective shift occurs on January 18th. This energy will set the tone for the next year and a half for you, so bringing an abundance of change with it. During this time, you could find yourself losing and gaining friends as you continue down the path of personal evolution. Now, know that these changes are meant to help you grow as a person, and try to remember that for every loss, there is a gain. Now, Mars enters your sign on the 24th, reigniting your passionate side. Things might feel like they're suddenly sped up, but you should have more than enough stamina to handle whatever life throws your way. Now, you'll want to put some emotion behind your goals when the moon cozies up to the primal planet on January 29th. Be open and be honest about what your wants and needs are during this time. And don't feel bad about scraping any ideas that no longer work for you. Now, Mercury and Pluto are also standing together on this day, making it easy for you to let go of any people, situations, or behavioral patterns that are standing in your way. So there you go. That is what Capricorn. So the big changes for Capricorn here. Mainly, it looks like changing your friends, really, and getting a new grip on life.
That's, wow.
So, yeah. All right. There you go. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've been going to the movies lately, and there's no better person that I want to talk to than my buddy, Mr. Paul Preston from The Movie Guys. Because Lord knows, he knows everything there is about Hollywood, the movies, who's directing. He even knows who Sidney Poitier is.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. All right, now, and he also knows who Betty White is, too, as well. So, just saying. I didn't say you did it. But hello, Paul. How are you, sir?
Hello, your weekly dose gang.
How are you, buddy? How was your New Year's and Christmas?
Outstanding. I went to Hawaii the week before all that.
Ooh.
That was a real week.
Did you get laid in Hawaii?
Yes.
Good. Because they normally do it when you walk off the plane.
Yeah, so. right there on the tarmac.
Yeah, right there. Just boom,
yeah,
there you go.
Five, six different girls come up and, yeah.
Laid
ya.
Yeah. How was Hawaii during that time, buddy? How was it? Was the weather good?
Yeah, you know, they had that blizzard there, if you remember. You know, Earth hates us. So turns out there's always snow on top of the volcanoes. They're 13,000 feet tall, you know, but there was like a lot of flooding and state of emergency. I was like, oh, great. But it all kind of cleared up and we'd hardly get any, my girlfriend Susan and I, Joe, came in, we hardly got any rain at all. Really a little bit once when we were walking on a volcano. You know, we swam with manta rays, we snorkeled, we walked on a volcano. It was crazy. It was really fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. What islands did you go to?
Well, I'd only been to Kauai before, so I went to the Big Island this time, and I'm a little scared to go anywhere else because I'm not a big fan of, like, you know, all the development that makes it feel like you're at Myrtle Beach. I mean, I want Hawaii as Hawaii is, you know, like you can see a volcano erupting, and they say what you're witnessing here is the ongoing creation of Earth, and you're like, whoa, you know, I don't need to see, like, senior frogs or whatever they might have in Honolulu, you know.
Oh, I know the feeling, brother. I know the feeling. Well, I'm glad I'm glad you had to go. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, though. You know, I've had a chance to go to all four islands, and each one is so uniquely different, though. And if you get a chance to go back to, like, Oahu, you know, or Maui, or, I mean, definitely go back again, brother. It's a totally different experience.
Oh, I will. Try and knock all those big four off, and then of course Lanai and Molokai, I guess, are just like day trips, and try and do those too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, brother, we got a lot to talk about, man. So many movies and TV shows and stuff going on, and living legends that we've just lost recently. Where do you want to start?
I mean, there's so much I mean, let's talk about who we lost, I suppose, because you had sent me a note that you want to talk about Sidney Poitier. And we should, you know, legend, first black man to win an Oscar and break that ground. And, you know, he wasn't just like a guy who humbly did it. Like, he was a force, you know, not just on screen. If you watch In the Heat of the Night or, you know, To Serve with Love or Lilies of the Field, he's a force. Or one of my favorite underrated Sidney Poitier movies from the 80s, Shoot to Kill.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
With him and Tom Berenger. But of course, you know, in society, he was also a great force and not to be denied.
Paul, in your opinion, what made him such an outstanding actor? Meaning, and I don't mean like such a great actor, but the way he stood out, though, overall. What in your opinion, what did he do that was so unique?
Well, he came equipped with the ability to do it. Like, how great was that voice? They call me Mr. Tibbs. You know, like, he's just like, and he's a towering figure, you know, and he had those piercing eyes. So he just used all those things well. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, just bring good actor to that set of, you know, visual, you know, whatever criteria that makes a star, and it's a huge win, and it was for him. And I, of all the things, you know, I like when I glimpse the legends. Like, one of the first things I ever did when I moved to LA was go down to the Tonight Show, because I heard they were promoting Space Cowboys and the whole cast was going to be there. It's like, wait a minute, I'm in LA, I just got here. I'm like, I can go down and witness in front of me Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, Donald Sutherland, and who was the other one? Anyway, they were all there.
James Garner,
right? Rest in peace.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I did that, of course. And so when I was in Chicago, they were shooting, of all things, To Sir With Love 2. Not anything you should remember in the Sidney Poitier repertoire. But I got to go be an extra on that, and there he was. You get to watch Sidney Poitier act, you know, and that kind of stuff was really cool. So to get, you know, I'll always have that memory of working out on the streets of Chicago, and there's Sidney Poitier doing his thing. It's like, I got to see that.
Okay, with seeing that and witnessing, what was he like on the set, Paul?
A gentleman, you know. I mean, I wasn't too close to him. I was a guy walking down the street while he's on the other side of the car doing a scene with some kid. You know, and acting so personal. Like, when I did some extra work on General Hospital. No, not extra work. I had one of my first lines in General Hospital. I'm standing across the gurney from two actors, and I had no idea what they were saying. They're like, you know, we would say, I know, it's going to be a different time. And I have a cue I have to hear. I'm like, would you like a moment alone before we take him away? Like, I didn't know. was that my cue? Because, you know, and they should be. The mic's right on them. There's no need that they need to yell. So I honestly didn't hear much of what Poitier was saying. Plus, this was 100 years ago. So.
Well, you know,
but certainly not, you know, certainly a class act.
Well, you know, that's something now that you and I have in common of meeting Sidney Poitier. I got to meet him at the Academy Awards one year, where I was being a seat filler, and they were directing me basically to fill in some seats, obviously. And I didn't realize it was the third row. And they're like, Sean, we need you here over these seats or whatever, you know, in over there. Okay, fine. So all I noticed that there was a black gentleman sitting at the very, very end. And I just said, excuse me, and gently put my hand on his knee and apologized and moved down, you know, a couple more people to the empty seats and, you know, sat down or whatever. And I realized I'm in the third row now. I'm where the money is sitting. And then I noticed about it, directly in front of me, two rows, is Jack Nicholson. Because this is the year of As Good As It Gets. Nice. Next to him was Helen Hunt. And then her husband next to her, you know. And I'm going, oh, my God. And I started to freak out. First time in years I've gotten starstruck. And I'm thinking, well, who in the heck is sitting in my row then? So I look over to my right where I entered, and who looks back at me? Sidney Poitier. And we just nodded at each other, and thank you, you know, and that was it. And I went, oh, my God, I touched Sidney Poitier's knee. You know? Oh, my God, you know.
Did he say to you, you have one choice and one choice only, and that is to guide me into those mountains? Let's shoot to kill again. I didn't a big fan of that movie. Anyway, go ahead.
And what was funny was that then as we're coming out of commercial break, the person whose seat I was sitting in came back. It ended up being Angelica Houston. So I get up and then I exit through the other way. And at the end of that row was Cuba Gooding Jr. And then he and I talked for a brief moment, you know, and everything. But I mean,
I hope there were people like super eagle-eyed on the crowd during that broadcast. And there was one swoop of the camera that went, Christ, what the hell happened to Angelica Houston during that?
Exactly. It's like, wow, she looks horrible. But I will never forget that moment of locking eyes with Sidney Poitier. And like you said earlier, his piercing eyes that he had, you know. And to me, I mean, he was just a man full of grace, no matter whether it was behind the scenes, whether it was directing Stir Crazy, whether it was being in front of the camera or whatever. Even when he acted, he had nothing but grace and elegance about him. And that's one thing I've always admired about Sidney Poitier.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, he hit that mark of being the first, you know, black man to win that big Oscar.
Yeah.
And then he knew he had to live the part and walk the part, represent and be that person to look up to. You know, he couldn't just disappear. And he was the right guy for them.
He was.
I read something that Sean would relate to with Sidney Poitier. He was 2 months premature.
Yes.
He happened to be, his family, parents happened to be in Miami, and he got born. That's why he's a U.S. citizen.
Right.
But he was 2 months early.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, this is so fresh. I mean, there's a whole lot I got to go read up on him now that the you know, retrospectives are out there in print now. I'm sure there's stories for days that are beyond what we know already.
Yeah. All right. And rest in peace, Sidney Poitier. We're definitely going to be missing him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a living legend. All right. What do you got next, Paul?
Well, I would like to talk about what's coming in 2022 movie-wise.
Sure. Let's go for it, brother.
Well, first of all, there's a big fantasy film with Henry Cavill coming out in February called Nodes of Fate. Should be pretty exciting.
I can't wait for it. I have been looking forward to this for a while now. And it's going to be amazing.
No. Even Hollywood doesn't know what Nodes of Fate is.
So. Yeah. Steve read the books.
Yeah.
Well, there's, first of all, actually, February does bring a movie that got delayed last year. In fact, Paramount, it's tough to know nowadays if the right call is made when people push a movie, because Paramount pushed Top Gun Maverick from last November this coming May. But then Ghostbusters Afterlife moved into the Top Gun's time slot, ended up making $200 some million worldwide on a $70 million budget, so it's a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Top Gun could have been bigger, perhaps, but who would know? They pushed it to next May, and then we'll see what happens. So, but they also got scared with Jackass Forever. It was supposed to come out in October. Now it comes out in February. So, if you're looking for a new Jackass movie, You got that coming next.
Steve's
month.
Been waiting for that one for the last couple
of
years.
Boy, I love those movies. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, and during pandemic, one of my jams was watching the Eric Andre show. So I actually grew a bigger appreciation for that kind of nonsense. And I see that Andre's in this film, so I'm excited for that.
Nice.
What else? We got Death on the Nile. I guess Murder on the Orient Express, Kenneth Branagh's remake, was a hit. So he's remaking Death on the Nile with more Hercule Poirot adventures. Star-packed cast, you know, including Armie Hammer. So we'll see how that goes up.
Okay.
And then March, we have The Batman. And we get to probably, I can imagine, because they never shy away from it, we get to watch Bruce Wayne's parents die again. Yay.
Yay.
At least Spider-Man took a break on Uncle Ben's death.
Right.
We'll see if this Batman what? Likes to revisit that. They made a Joker movie, and still Bruce Wayne's parents had to die. It's like, yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
Let them
Paul, what you, with this new Batman movie coming out and everything, are people really? Are the fans really anticipating this to be a good one, or is it just kind of like, we're kind of done with Batman for a while?
It's so hard to tell. You know, they have to make these movies to hang on to the rights. You know, like in order to have the DC rights, you know, Warner Brothers has to keep using the property. If they take a break and they're not doing anything with it, then you go, who wants our property? You know, it's like.
But they're still doing it on the animated side, though. So would they still keep the title there?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think they really shine, is those animated DC films. Fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? A total reboot of the people behind it. I mean, clearly, Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon weren't cutting it. So, you know, this will be fresh blood. It's Matt Reeves, who made the last two Planet of the Apes movies, which are fantastic, and Cloverfield. And, you know, I think he's a pretty good director. Pattinson is a good actor. You know, so is Paul Dano playing the Riddler. It's full of good actors. Colin Farrell, unrecognizable as Penguin. So the casting's hot, and I'm hoping for good things. You know, it looks super dark. I don't want it to be too rated R. I don't want it to be completely ugly. I want it to be dark because that's Bruce Wayne's path.
Right.
But we'll see. I hope it hits a nice middle tone. We'll find out.
Okay. One question. I know it's already been out for a while, but I want to ask you, have you seen the new West Side Story yet?
Yes.
How is that?
It's really good. And there's one where it's like, I still don't know what to make of remakes. Uh-huh. You know, right now it seems like continuations of sagas and franchises seems to be the way to go. If you look at Star Wars making money, I mean, I don't think those movies are all that great recently, but people are watching them. Creed especially is a great extension of a franchise.
Right.
And now, but you can't extend West Side Story. You don't keep going with that. You know, what was Riff like when as a kid? You know, that would be stupid. But so Spielberg took it upon himself to remake one of the movies that made the most Oscars ever. Like, I agree with Siskel and Ebert. Remake a bad movie. Give a bad idea a shot at a better execution. But nevertheless, he tackled it. And I just got to tell you, Spielberg's just, I mean, he's just good.
That's right.
The guy's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard, too. It was critically acclaimed, but at the box office or whatever, they said it's been doing very poorly, and they're kind of blaming the timing for it, too, because it went up against Superman No Way Home.
Superman?
Well, you know.
Spider-Man.
No Spider-Man, Way Home. Yeah. The Kingsman died at the box office, too. These are both 20th Century Fox movies at Disney. You know, picked up in the purchase, and now I wonder if they're regretting it. They're like, "Hey," but it seems like predicting what's going to make money at the box office is absolutely impossible. I mean, because you know, Top Gun Maverick again pushed to next month or next year. They said, or until later this year, and they said, "Forget it, we're out. It's a mess." And then Spider-Man makes $1 billion,
right.
Billion. So, the first time the movie's done that in like 2 years. So,
right.
Who the hell knows? But it is depressing that West Side Story didn't make more money because it is spectacularly put together. In fact, the only thing it might suffer from is the relative unimportance because we have a West Side Story already. I always think when it gets to film, you're done, right?
Right.
But he decided to remake it. And one of the things that works best about it is the danger is real. It's not some musical theater danger, you know,
right.
That's watered down. I mean, the racism, the cops, the knives, the fights, it's all palpable, and the actors play it for real. And you know, Spielberg, of course, just delivers it with a, you know, with a super pro delivery, and that's the kind of stuff he's good at lately. If you ask me, I mean, Ready Player One didn't find an audience. The BFG was terrible. Tintin, no one seemed to care about. But his adult offerings, like Bridge of Spies, Lincoln, Munich, these are his adult stuff is good, and so that's what I would put this on.
Yeah, and the thing is, I actually really enjoyed Ready Player One. I mean, anytime it comes on now, it's like I'll watch it.
Oh, you want to test out a home theater system you just purchased? Put on the first big car race.
Yeah.
And just like listen to the audio and watch the visuals go bananas. It's a lot of fun. It just didn't find an audience for some reason.
How weird.
And it's got, and look for these people too, because their names may not get mentioned enough. But David Alvarez plays Bernardo and Mike Faced plays Riff. Especially Mike Faced, the guy looks ripped right out of a 60s movie. Mm-hmm. So the casting's fantastic with him. And turns out they both have theater cred. David Alvarez won the Tony as Billy Elliot. And Mike Faced was the original Connor from Dear Evan Hansen. So, you know, he went to get like legit people to deliver these characters, and they do a great job. Because, you know, you're going to hear about Rachel Zegler because she is cringe, a YouTube star, but actually does a great job. And you'll hear about Ansel Elgort not being great, and that's kind of true. I think he's the singer who brings the least to his performance. But Bernardo and Riff walk away with the movie, I think.
Nice. All right, we got a few.
I had a question about Rita Moreno's in it.
Correct.
What kind of part does she play?
She plays a woman who runs the hangout where Tony works and where the gang finds themselves a lot. And, you know, she's like the voice of reason for them.
Oh, so she kind of plays the Doc's part then.
What's that?
So she plays Doc's part. Because that's the character, the guy who runs the little hangout that they're at.
Yeah,
it was
still the fountain place.
Yeah,
it's still called Doc's, but she had, and I guess it's her husband, based on her husband in this movie.
Nice.
Yeah, and she takes a lead on Somewhere, which is fun.
Cool. All right, we got a few seconds left. Paul, any other movies that we should look out for in the next couple of months?
Well, I mean, by the end of the year, we're finally going to get Avatar 2. I don't know if you guys are excited about this.
I am.
I
liked it, the first one, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it was an event, right? I mean, by December we can work all this crap out with the theaters, and if so, I mean, it should be massive. I heard you guys talking about John Madden wanting this and that in his video game, and they made it happen. That's how Cameron works. He's like, I want to see this in my movie. And all right, now go develop the technology that allows us to do that. So
yeah,
that's how
we
have a lot of advances in cinema, because he says, I want to do this. And I'm James Cameron. And they go, better go get it done. And then hopefully there'll be lots of cool high-tech shit we haven't seen before. Yeah.
Well, if he can make a ship sink, he can do anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, and what a way to sink a ship. Right?
Exactly.
And apparently, he's going back to what he loves best, because I think the rumor is that one of the Avatar movies will take place in the undersea world of Pandora. So he just can't get enough. And if you like Spider-Man, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the sequel to the animated Into the Spider-Verse will be coming out as well before the year is up. And then I just love Marvel to death. I can't get enough. So we'll have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness in May. By summer, we'll have Thor, Love and Thunder. And then before the year's up, the Black Panther sequel, Wakanda Forever, which has been a little troubled kind of a shoot, but hopefully they get their act together and it all comes out on time.
Nice.
I believe Letitia Wright is sure he's going to be taking over the reins as Black Panther. That's my guess.
Interesting.
But nothing for sure about that.
Yeah. Well, Paul.
Top Gun, Jurassic World, Lightyear, Mission Impossible, Hocus Pocus, more Halloween, The Flash, Fantastic Beasts. There's a whole bunch of stuff. It's a big year.
Awesome. And we'll talk more about it in 2 weeks, too. And Happy New Year to you, Paul. And, of course, buddy, it's going to be another wonderful year of you telling us what movies to go see. So I can't wait, buddy.
Yes, it's award season, so I'll be seeing a lot between now and next time I'm on. We'll chat them all up.
Sounds wonderful, bud. We'll talk to you then. Right.
Farewell.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Yeah, there's so many things going on too right now. Earlier downstairs, well, too, I was talking about like how Cobra Kai. You know, I just watched all season four real quick, and then now you got the Book of Boba Fett that's coming out on Disney Plus. So there's a lot of things to watch.
Yeah,
an awful lot of things to watch too. And then of course, you know, Caitlin's favorite too, which is the Harry Potter reunion.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a 2-hour epic. Mm-hmm. Epic to watch on HBO Max. So we want
Emma Watson's cute. I like her.
She is. I like her too.
Yeah.
I like her too. Well, you know what? Every year, you know, of course, at the beginning of the year, everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions and this and that or whatever, what they're going to do and everything. Well, Steve and I went across the Twitterverse and we found some interesting New Year's resolutions. So let's read these tweets here for you.
Lots of birds in the tree.
All right, here we go. The past year, I went to the gym 4 times, and my New Year's resolution is to cut that number in half.
Well, the antithesis of that is...
What the hell?
The pronunciation of that was, wow.
Antithesis is, I'm trying to complete my 2021 New Year's resolution list. To sum it up, I have 25 hours to lose 38 pounds. Serious suggestions only, please.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's the yin and yang there.
There you go.
Yeah.
My New Year's resolution is to be more efficient. So I'm giving up on it right now instead of wasting all January acting like I can achieve it.
There you go.
There you go. Bada bing, bada bang.
Telling people your New Year's resolution so you'll be accountable is a great way to find out that no one cares about your resolution.
That's so damn true.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
New Year's Eve is as a parent in mostly telling your kids to dream big while we lie unshowered and bloated on couches as we fall asleep by 9 p.m.
Ding.
Ding. Correct. That's what I do.
Now, my New Year's resolution is to be less of an outright bitch and more of a secret bitch.
Hey, that's
also
a good,
ding.
There you go. My New Year's resolution for 2022 is to refer to myself less often as trash and more often as recycling, because at least my nonsense eco-friendly and sustainable.
Now, my New Year's resolution is to try and put less than 4 chapsticks through the washer and dryer next year.
That's a good accomplishment.
That's a tough one.
That's a ooh boy. My New Year's resolution is to convince as many people as possible that hillbilly is short for Mountain William.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
My New Year's resolution, to find out what's really in Pop-Tarts. Again.
Same thing, yeah. Yeah, these are just banging off there.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, let's try this one. My only 2022 New Year's resolution is to stop dating men who have the emotional intelligence of a baked potato.
Yeah, good luck there.
Boy.
All right, wait.
In your total 20 years on this earth.
Yeah. Let me try this one more. Let me try this one again.
My generation are awful. I give up on them.
I'm going to try this one again. My New Year's resolution is to convince as many people as possible that hillbilly is short for Mountain William.
Oh, ha ha, ha. Nope, now I get it.
Same thing. Yeah.
Okay, I kept last year's resolution, don't get pregnant.
Oh.
Always return my shopping cart. Think I'll do the same this year.
I just love the fact.
What?
Yeah, don't get pregnant and return the
shopping
cart.
Didn't get pregnant, she returned the shopping cart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Or he, I don't want to.
That's a new way to get pregnant.
Yeah.
No, that's what happens to people that leave their shopping carts out.
I don't think the two have anything to do with each other.
I bet you if that was the consequence, more people would put their carts away.
Dude, when I worked at a grocery store and people would just like leave them there, it would annoy me so
instant
much.
Blood boil.
Yeah. Or when they're like, oh, here you go. It is right there.
I say right something there to those people. You going to leave that cart there?
And we're back. And the final one. Wow, we took a left turn. And the final one. Startup idea. A gym named Resolution that runs for the first month of the year. It collects subscription fees and then converts into a bar named Regret.
Jeez.
So there you go, guys.
There's your damn thing. What if for 12 hours it was a gym and for 12 hours it was a bar?
And oh, totally
back and forth. Yeah, you'd never have to leave.
Yeah. What if it was a speakeasy? Like you go up to the counter of the gym and like.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you get it wrong, you have to go to the gym.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have a protein shake instead of a martini.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Well, that would work for your generation.
It would, to be honest.
All right. So we've got some free guys that we haven't done in a while. And you ready for this one, Steve?
Are you saying that we have something we need?
Yeah.
What do we need?
Some class.
Some culture.
Some culture. Absolutely, brother. Something we like to call
pocket-size cinema.
I'll be man two.
Okay, all then right. I guess I'll be man one.
And three.
And three.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to pocket-size cinema. Today's feature is entitled The New Year's Eve Party. Yes, the New Year's Eve. Ooh, I got some shoulder. Eve Party. We open when three men were out at a New Year's Eve party, and they were drinking scotch whiskey most of the night. They left in the early morning hours and went home separately. Too bad for them. They met for lunch the next day, though, and compared notes about who was drunker the night before. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy the New Year's Eve party.
Man, I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty drunk last night. I mean, I went straight home and walked in the house, and as soon as I got through the door, I blew chunks.
You think that was drunk? I got in my car, drove out of the parking lot, and wrapped my car around the first tree I saw. And I don't even have insurance.
Well, I was by far the most drunk. I got home, got in a big fight with my wife, knocked a candle over, and burned the whole house down.
They all looked at each other for a moment. Then the first guy says,
"Guys, I don't think you understand. Chunks is my dog."
I love it. I was thinking about it.
It's like, what? Wait a minute. You know, this is one of Gino's favorite jokes.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Did you get it, Caitlin?
No, I processed it a while ago. I was just sitting there like, wow, okay.
Some people are into bestiality. Others, many not. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's see. Shall we play the game?
Ooh.
Is that where we're at right now? Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, a new game show that's rocking the nation. Quiz me!
Quiz you! All right. So we've got intern Christopher here today. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sir.
Have you guys all been enjoying the new year?
We have. Have you?
I have enjoyed the new year.
Hey, what'd you get for Christmas? Anything good?
Yeah, I got some good stuff.
Ooh.
And I got some gifts for you. Like my first gift, question number one.
Oh, wow.
I like that segue.
Yeah, great segue. Yeah.
Yes, it's creative.
Yes, it was.
What apple doesn't fall far from the dead tree.
In fact, it was such a apples good segue that we never got the music cue.
Mm. No, we did.
We did.
We did.
No.
We talked
question
over it,
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't hear it.
He's deaf.
I didn't.
I know. What?
What year was the very first model of the iPhone released?
Oh,
Caitlin,
God.
2008. Caitlin.
No.
Damn. Caitlin. Oh,
no,
shit.
Once we go around again. Yeah. Steve?
Steve.
Steve?
2003.
No.
I know that's close.
I'm going to say 2002.
No.
Okay, I think Caitlin was close. So she said 2000.
Caitlin has been the closest.
So you said 2008. I'm going to say 2009.
That is wrong. Oh.
Caitlin?
2006.
No.
Steve.
No. Steve.
2005.
No.
Sean.
Oh, Sean.
2007.
Yes.
Yay.
I like how Caitlin skipped 2007 to go down to 2000.
I was debating about that too. I was like, is it 7 or is it 6? Because I remember my parents, so I was very like sheltered and they wouldn't let me have iPads or anything. Then my uncle came to visit when I was in second grade and he had an iPhone and he would let me play on it. And I was at the mall and I was like playing my game on the iPhone. And I like lost track of my uncle and I was like, okay, he's right there. Then like playing on the game.
Me and my uncle.
All right. Question number two. What email service is owned by Microsoft?
Casey.
Casey? Ooh.
Gmail?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Casey.
All right, why don't you go around again? Steve?
I have no idea.
Caitlin?
Caitlin?
Yahoo? The Yahoo mail thing?
No, Yahoo.
Microsoft?
Yep. Microsoft. Which email service is owned by Microsoft? Sean, do you have a guess before?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think it through. So, Sean.
Sean.
AOL was owned by Time Warner. So, that only leaves... I'm going to say Hotmail.
That is correct.
Damn it. I was just about to guess that.
Whoa.
Good job. Question number three. What is meteorology the study of?
Oh, Sean.
Sean?
Come on, guys. Weather.
That is correct. Good job, Sean. Question
You're
number
right, John.
Four.
I'm going hard.
I was trying to make a joke out of it. I didn't get out fast enough.
What animals are pearls found in?
Steve.
Steve.
Oysters.
That is correct, Steve. Good job. Question number five. Which Avenger is the only one who could calm the Hulk down?
That could do what?
Calm the Hulk down.
Calm the Hulk down. Oh, I just saw this. Oh, shit.
Ooh, Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Oh, my God.
Caitlin's
She's so
very
excited
and
knocked her headphones off.
Black Widow?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Black Widow.
Nice.
Hold
on.
There you go.
Question number six. What was Superman's birth name?
Sean.
Sean?
Kal-El.
There you go.
I was saying it as you said it. Oh, it was Kal-El. I mean,
what was his daddy's name?
Purell.
That's actually was his mom.
All right, moving on to question number seven.
Oh, no, that was funny.
How many films did Sean Connery play James Bond in?
Steve.
Steve?
Sean.
Seven.
That is correct. Ah, wow, Steve. Yeah. That was fast, too.
Wow.
It was like, bam.
Good job.
All right, question number eight. Which cartoon character lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Steve.
Steve got it first.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
That is correct.
He lives in Bikini Bottom.
Yes, he does. I just love
so does Steve.
It was one after the other. Like, bam, 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 bam. Yeah.
I know. I looked up as I said, and everybody all went.
All right, question number nine. What is the longest running Broadway show?
Casey?
Sean.
Steve, then Casey, then Sean.
It's Phantom of the Opera.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Oh, I was going to say Chorus Line.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right, final question number 10. What animal can be seen on the Porsche logo?
Casey?
Casey?
Stallion?
No.
No, that's wrong, yeah.
No, that would be right.
What'd you say?
Yeah, that's Ferrari. Not Porsche.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's Ferrari I was thinking of, not Porsche.
Okay. Well, you said Stallion, though.
That's the Ferrari.
Ferrari is the, yeah. The,
yeah, that's the horse that's rearing up.
Okay, yeah. So what's a Porsche?
What's a Porsche? I don't know.
Shoot, I don't know.
Do we not have any guesses?
Not a rabbit.
Sean? A turtle.
No. Oh. nobody's coming up with anything.
All right, what is it?
It is a horse, actually.
Yeah, it's a horse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is a horse.
Just a horse there.
All right, so yeah.
You get a half a point.
Yeah, yeah. Half point.
Actually, she gets a point and a half because she actually went stallion. That's like a breed of a horse.
Yeah, she was very specific with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up the game then, doesn't it? And that kind of wraps up the show.
There
we go.
Yeah, it's got a slow intro.
Wait,
it doesn't
really...
Yeah,
no, like, wait a minute. Yeah. Did you press it yet?
Well, we didn't play No One Is to Blame.
Okay. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed our first show of 2022. We enjoyed being here for you guys, too, as well. So don't forget, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose 1.
I'm on Facebook, Steve Silva, and Twitter at SilvaLining69.
I'm on Instagram, Caitlin Ketstever, and my production studio's Instagram is Ketstever Studios, KetStever.
Nice. And I'm on Facebook, KCN Summers, starting the new year out of jail.
Yeah, baby. Either way, she's still a felon, and I love it. And if you guys want to follow me, Sean, on any of the media out there, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. Also, guys, don't forget, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio. All of our past shows are there from 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday. And once again, guys, if you enjoy the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you, and we want to make this year a bigger year for us in getting more listeners. So help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell anybody. Just tell them, because damn it, we dare you to. So until then, we'll catch you guys next week.
Be good to each other. Go to the movies, world. See a movie.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.